On our last broadcast, I began the message entitled, Why Judges Are Not Fair. And we learned that David prayed an imprecatory prayer, where he prayed that God not bless the people, but that God curse the people. And we'll learn more about imprecatory prayer today as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life sent down from
the Lord. Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages out of the book of Psalms. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to Psalms 58 as we take a look in the book.
Oh, Lord. Look at what, did you see what David said? In other words, David says he's praying that God would disarm them. Yeah. You know, a lot of times we used to go over to folks in them house, and they would have a bad dog out there in the yard. And then the folks, they would be in the house saying, oh, don't worry about the dog. He ain't no bother you. But that dog be there showing his teeth. He be showing the teeth. Oh, I wish I had read this before time. I would have told, take out his teeth then. Take out his teeth. Come on, he ain't no bite. He still got the teeth. Let's do something about the teeth. Notice, David says, listen, he says, God, take away these guys' teeth. Take their armor away from them. Disarm them. He said, take away their teeth. He says, break out the great teeth, even of the young lion. In other words, even if they children or they back up, whoever they got bagging them up, knock out their teeth too. Whoever is their apprentice, whoever is their helper, knock out their teeth too. David is praying to disarm them. But secondly, he prays that God will dry them. Look here in verse number 7. He says, let them melt away as water will run continually. He said, just move them on out the way, Lord. It's just like, have you seen water running down a brook? You don't see the same water twice. Once that water done passed you, some new water comes. You don't see the same old water. The only time you're going to see the same old water, it's got to be a fountain. But David is saying, let them just go on by David. Let them move them on out the way. But not only move them on out the way, move them on out the way and then let them dry up. It's just like a brook. A brook can have water, but if it don't keep getting supply from rain, eventually that brook is going to dry up. And that's what he's praying for. He's praying, first, move them on out the way, just like a running stream. But then when they get on over there, let them dry on up. In other words, don't just be transferring the problem on down the road, taking my problem, and then now it's somebody else's problem. He said, dry up the problem. That's what he's saying. Then thirdly, he prays that God would destroy their weapons. Did you notice that? The last part of verse number 7, he says, and when he bend his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. In David's day, they used to have bow and arrow. That was part of their weaponry. And so he's asking God to destroy their weaponry. I remember as a little boy, we used to play cowboys and Indians. Anybody play cowboys in India? And we used to make our own bow and arrow. Hello, somebody. Any bow and arrow makers in the house? Amen. And then in order to make that arrow, a lot of time, we had to go get some Coca-Cola bottle tops. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you would take that arrow, you would take that lit switch like, and then you would bend that Coca-Cola bottle top where it's sharp and pointed at the end there. And so now you got a weapon now. Don't you mess with me. Hello, somebody. I can take one of these. Hey, somebody. Lord have mercy. But you knew when the game was over with, a real fist fight was finna start. When somebody came over to your lit hideaway where you had all your arrows and they start breaking up your arrows. Because you ain't got nothing to fight with now. Only thing you got to fight with is some knuckle sandwiches. Hello, somebody. That's what David is saying here. Take away their arrow. Amen. Destroy their weapons. Fourthly, he prays that God would dissolve them like a snail. Look at verse 8. As a snail which melts away, let every one of them pass away. Just get them out the way, God. Just like a little slimy snail. Lord have mercy. Look at the word picture. A slimy snail. You know, you can put some salt. We used to put salt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he going to just leave a little slimy trail. And eventually he going to dissolve. You don't have to be worried about him no more. Listen, God can take these judges and he can fix it where the judge can't even come to work. He can fix it where the judge won't even have no help. He can fix it where we're reading about the judge in the obituary. The judge done passed away. Yeah. That's the kind of God we got. We got the God that's got life and death in his hands. Yeah. Fifthly, he prays for a discontinuation. Look at verse number 8b. He says, like an untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. He said, God, if you know that this little boy that's getting ready to be born in his mama's womb, if he's going to cause some wickedness on that bench, don't even let him be born. Let his mama have a miscarriage. Do you see what David is? Don't even let him see the sun. That's what David said. Yeah. You may think that's hard until you or your child got to stand before that kind of judge. And then you will say, Lord, I wish the man wouldn't have been born. Look at the sixth thing that David prays for. He says, he prays for disruption. He said, before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The picture here is a camper. He done got his bucket, his pot at the end of the day. He done put the water in the pot. He done put the meat in the pot. Oh, they getting ready to have a big stew there in the pot. He go get him some wood and thorns and put the wood and the kindling under the pot. And he light the match and get the fire started. And as soon as he get the fire started, a whirlwind come and blow over the pot and takes it miles away and throw the food all out and scatter it all over. In other words, the man was cooking up, getting ready to cook up something good, but it got interrupted by the wind. A lot of time these judges behind the closed doors, they're cooking up something for you. They got some wicked plan. And so David is saying, God, when they trying to cook up some wicked plan back there, you know the plan, God. Go on and interrupt that plan. Spoil that plan. They're trying to give your child 25 years for stealing $10 worth of beer. Interrupt that plan, God. That's what David is saying. Now, a lot of people say we don't need to be praying them kind of prayers because, you know, we Christians. No, see, the problem is we don't really understand. Yeah, we really don't understand imprecatory prayers. As a matter of fact, Charles Ryrie, a great theologian, talked about this over in his Ryrie Study Bible in his introduction to the Psalms. He said the purpose of imprecatory prayer is four things. He says, number one, to demonstrate God's just and righteous judgment towards the wicked. Number two, to show the authority of God over the wicked. Number three, to lead the wicked to seek the Lord. And then number four, to cause the righteous to praise God. Oh, I think we would have a much better society if we just learn how to pray some of these imprecatory prayers. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We see, the thing is, we only learn how to pray one way. And that's bless me, God, bless my family, bless my children, bless. But there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And just like there's a time that you say, bless them, God, there should be a time that you say, curse them, God. Yeah. I know a lot of people, they don't want to agree with that. But before you talk about that, that when you die and go to heaven, then you just need to talk it over with David. Because when you read through these Psalms, David prayed like that a whole lot of times. David prayed that way in Psalm 7, in Psalm 35, in Psalms 55, in Psalms 59, in Psalm 69, in Psalm 79, in Psalm 109, in Psalm 137, and Psalm 139. David prayed those kinds of prayers. And then when you finish talking with David, when you get to heaven, then you need to go talk to Elijah. Because Elijah prayed like that. Folks weren't living right in his society. He went and got on his knees and he said, Lord, don't let it rain for 3.5 years. And the Bible said, God listened to him. And God locked heaven up where God wouldn't send rain no more for 3.5 years. God didn't send no more rain until Elijah got on his knees and Elijah prayed for rain. And when Elijah prayed for rain, then God sent some rain. Then after you finish talking to Elijah, go talk to Joshua. Because Joshua was outperforming warfare on the enemy of God. And all of a sudden the sun started going down. The moon started coming up. Joshua got on his knees and said, Lord, hold the sun in its place and make the moon stay still. Give me some more sunlight, in other words, and let me finish this work. Don't let the sun go down until I done finished this work for you. And the Bible says that God made the moon stand still. Lord, have mercy. All because he knew how to pray. Yeah. And then after you finish talking to him, go ahead and talk to Samson. Yeah, because Samson, his last prayer that he prayed was an imprecatory prayer. Yeah. He said, God, squint me one more time. Just give me a squint one more time. And if you just squint me one more time, I'll get these Philistines for you. You want me to get rid of them? I'll get rid of them. He just squinted me one more time. And God squinted him one more time, and he brought the house down, and he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And then when you finish talking to him, go on and talk to Apostle Paul. Because you'll read about in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul got word that it was a man right there in the church of Corinthians that was sleeping, having sex with his daddy's wife. I don't know if it was his stepmama or his mama, but I'm thinking hopefully it was his stepmama. Either way it go, it's bad. But he was having sex with his daddy. Why? And Paul says, listen, y'all need to deal with that the next time y'all come to church. He said, because I've already dealt with it. I've already prayed, and I've already put him in the hands of Satan so that Satan can destroy his body, that his spirit can be saved on Judgment Day. And then when you finish talking to the Apostle Paul, then go on over and talk to the tribulation saints. Because you'll find their story over in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, because they have been slain for the testimony of God. The Bible says they begin to start praying and asking the Father, how long, oh Lord, how long it's going to be before you take vengeance on earth for how they have mistreated us? Oh, yes, it's scattered from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, those kinds of prayers. As a matter of fact, your grandmama or great-grandmama probably used to pray like that. Yeah, that's how old folks used to pray. Old folks used to see a hard-headed boy acting hard-headed. They said, that's all right. That's all right. You want to keep acting hard-headed? That's all right. I'm going to put God on you. Yeah, I'm going to just put you in the hands of the Lord, and God is going to deal with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray that God whip you so hard that you won't even think about doing that again. Yeah, see, that's the kind of prayers that we need to pray. A lot of times when our children are acting up and we done all that we can, don't just let them just roam the alleys and roam our world like a wild dog or something. No, get on your knees and put them in the hands of the Lord. I don't care how far they done got out of your reach. They ain't got out of the reach of Almighty God. God knows how to bring them back in line. Lord have mercy. Yeah. So David is visualizing all of what he wished would happen to these judges. But then David goes right on, and David talks about justice vindicated. Justice vindicated in verses 10 and 11. That word vindicate means to set free. David says here in verses 10 and 11, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Lord have mercy. That a man shall say, verily, there is a reward. Oh, let me read this again. I like verse 11. He says, so that a man shall say, that word verily means truly, truly, there is a reward. It pays to serve the Lord. He says, verily, he is a God that judges in the earth. Oh, you didn't hear me this morning. I got to read that part again. It says, verily, in other words, truly, he is a God. Oh, no. See, a lot of people, they don't understand that we got a God. There is a God somewhere. See, we done brought God down today, and folks don't fear God. Yeah, that's the problem with us. We done made God look like Santa Claus. Well, we just crawl up in his lap and tell Santa Claus what we want. See, we don't fear God today. We just look at God as a janitor. You come on here and sweep up some stuff and clean up some stuff and fix some stuff in my life. No, but there is a God, ladies and gentlemen. There is somebody that says hi and he looks low and he can take care of anything. And he can do anything but fail. For there is a God. And the Bible says that judges in the earth. Not only in heaven, but his jurisdiction goes even down here on earth. See, a lot of judges, they just over this particular court, or over this particular court, or over, they ain't got no jurisdiction over that court. Their jurisdiction is this court, but he got jurisdiction in heaven and on earth. Oh, and what I like about God, God is getting tired, ladies and gentlemen. I said, God is getting tired. You know, the reason he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says his sin had came up before him. See, there's a sin level, and God says, listen, I'm not going to tolerate sin no more once it comes up to this certain level. I got to act. I got to do something. And ladies and gentlemen, our society is being ripe for judgment. Oh, yeah, God is getting tired of how these judges is mistreating our children. God is getting tired of seeing how these judges is having favoritism. God is getting tired of seeing how these judges favors the rich rather than the poor. God is getting tired of seeing how these judges are mistreating one race over another race. God is getting tired, and one day God is going to send back Jesus. Oh, yeah. He gonna send Jesus. And when Jesus come this time, he gonna be different than how he was the last time. When Jesus came the first time, he came like a little lamb. But when he come the second time, he's gonna come like a lion. When he came the first time, he came meek and lowly, riding on the back of a donkey. But when he come the next time, he's gonna be riding on the back of a white horse. When Jesus came the first time, he came like a poor peasant. But when he come back the next time, he's gonna come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When Jesus came the first time, they took him and man judged him. But when he come back the next time, he's gonna judge man. And it ain't gonna be nothing nice when Jesus get on his throne and begin to start having court. He's gonna bring all of these judges up, and they gotta stand before the judge of all judges. And it ain't gonna be nothing nice, because the Bible says that he's gonna wipe them away. He's gonna kill them, because we're gonna see some blood. And the Bible said the righteous is gonna be walking in their blood. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the wicked is going to get theirs, but the righteous is going to get theirs. So cheer up, my brothers and sisters. Better days are ahead. Cheer up, my brothers and sisters. You may be crying right now, but the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Cheer up, my brothers and sisters. Right now, you may be crying right now, but the Bible tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Morning will come. I say morning will come. Brighter days are ahead. Brighter days are ahead. So in the words of the old songwriter, hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. I say, hold on just a little while longer. Everything, 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 everything is going to be all right. After a while, after a while, after a while, better days.
Oh, hey. If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinthebook.com. Again, that is alookinthebook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.